Nobody does it better than Regent Seven Seas Cruises. Enjoy all-inclusive, unrivaled luxury with unlimited shore excursions, indulgent cuisine, personalized service, and more aboard spacious all-suite ships. Visit rssc.com to experience the unrivaled.
I was born in Scotland. Like that, my die was cast. Consigned to joyous failure and a hearkening for the past. See, I was born in Scotland in the cold, the wet, the wind, where we dare not dream a fairy tale. But forgive me, I have sinned. See, I was born in Scotland. I was 12 in 98. I wore a kilt that my gran had sewn, R9 Mercurials on my feet. Yes, I was born in Scotland, but I spent a summer in France. I never left my postcode, but for 2 weeks, I was entranced. Because I was born in Scotland, and now this colour and this grandeur, if I hadn't seen those riches, I could have lived with being poor. But I was born in Scotland, and while 98 was great, our funny little country always likes to make us wait. He was also born in Scotland, 12 years ago in truth. We share a name, a nose, a chin, a toilet and a roof. When he was born in Scotland, we wore a few more scars. Resigned to find a nosebleed seat and watch on from afar. But being born in Scotland, we really take the hint. A generation most born since, they'll leave their own footprint. And us, well, two of us born in Scotland, almost 30 years apart. Now America is calling, and for them, this is just a start. The wait from 98 was long, and now it feels a lot less grim. Turns out, I wasn't waiting for France again. I was waiting to share it with him. Worth the wait. Supporting Scotland this summer. Together.
We are going to America
with the chance to be history makers.
A 28-year wait is about to end. Live in Glasgow's Merchant City Square. And live from the Boston Stadium. Scotland versus Haiti. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hello and welcome to Super Scoreboard. Near 3 decades of hurt is almost over and Scotland are back at the World Cup. Kickoff between Scotland and Haiti is just an hour away as we bring you all the coverage for the biggest game for the nation in a generation. Steve Clark and his players have already created history by getting to the World Cup. But can they become legends by getting through the group stage of a major tournament for the first time? I'm Andrew McLean, joining me in Merchant City Square for this one, Scotland international Tony Watt and Raith Rovers legend Gordon DL.
It's all about Scotland over in America making the Udge legends, and the fact of we've waited so long, 28 years, Andrew. We've been in the last 2 Euros, but let's not be kiddied here. The World Cup is something different, something special. You get the feeling when you walk in here, you're walking down the street to arrive here at the venue tonight. I don't think anybody in Scotland's going to sleep. We're all waiting for it. We're excited for it. Listen, we've just watched the Morocco and Brazil game. 1-1, we'll take that, but two good looking sides. But it's what we do tonight. We have got to go off to a good start.
Tony, it has been a long time coming for a World Cup, 28 years, but this has felt a long time coming since Scotland qualified for this World Cup. You go back to that game between Scotland and Denmark. This is the day that everyone has been waiting for, or the early morning that everyone has been waiting for, and it's finally here.
Yeah, it's brilliant. You can see the atmosphere walking in here tonight. Glasgow is buzzing. We're surrounded by Scotland fans everywhere, and there's just an absolute buzz in the city. It's been a long time coming since the Denmark game, and yeah, there's been a buzz about it, but now finally we're touching the kickoff time, and it's exciting. We're going into a World Cup game for the first time in my life as overwhelming favourites, and the first game, this is the first game I'll remember for Scotland in the World Cup. I was 5 years old when they were last there, and yeah, really excited about it.
As Tony said, there is a buzz all over Scotland. There's also a buzz in Boston. If you have been on social media at all over the past few days, some of the videos, the content from the Tartan Army that have been over there is absolutely sensational. The fans are making their way to the Boston Stadium. They're inside. They are ready for kickoff. And Gabriel Antoniazzi, our reporter, has the golden ticket. He is there. He can give us a bit of a flavour of what is going on in the stadium and the all-important team news.
Yes, good evening from the Boston Stadium, Andrew, better known as Foxborough, here on the outskirts of Boston. A magnificent arena, the perfect setting for this, the day we've all been waiting for. As you say, since 1998, Scotland's time in the wilderness is over. Steve Clarke's side are back on the biggest stage. The eyes of the world are upon our nation once more, and now it's over to these players to deliver the biggest game of many of their lives. They've been out on the pitch to soak it all in. They'll be out warming up shortly. Fans are starting to flood in, Andrew. Almost all of them wearing that salmon pink shirt that the players will be donning in a few moments' time. They hope, we all hope, it's the start of a memorable journey here in North America over the next month as they aim to make history and reach the knockout stages of a major tournament for the first ever time. Clark believes his side have learned lessons from previous tournaments and have the experience to succeed. It's time for them to show it now. Let's get straight into the team news then. The biggest call is the return of John McGinn to the starting lineup in place of Ryan Christie. That's just the one change from the side that beat Bolivia 4-0 a week ago in New Jersey's friendly. It's tough to take for Christie, who has been excellent for Bournemouth and Scotland recently. But McGinn is Clark's man for the big occasion, and he's been the hero for this team so many times over recent years. So the side is as follows. It'll be 4-4-2, Angus Gunn in goal. Aaron Hickey, Grant Hanley, Jack Henry and Andy Robertson make up the back four. Be Ben Gannon-Doak and John McGinn out wide with Lewis Ferguson and Scott McTominay in the middle of the park. Shea Adams and Lawrence Shankland are up top. All of the remaining squad members are amongst the substitutes. For Haiti, they make their return to the World Cup for the first time in 40 years. What an achievement for the small Caribbean nation. Here's the team chosen by manager Sebastian Ming. It'll be 4-2-3-1 with Placide in goal. Arcus Ade, Delcroix and experience as a back four. Jean-Jacques and Bellegarde in midfield with Dietzen, Providence and Pierrot in front of them. Isidore leads the line. We're expecting them to be direct and use their pace on the break. They are very quick and they can score goals, but they're 43 places below Scotland in the FIFA World Rankings, Andrew. Scotland are heavy favourites. The referee is the Algerian Mustafa Gorba. Of course, we'll have VAR with all of the new updated rules as well. Kickoff is now 50 minutes away as the goalkeepers come out to warm up to rapturous applause.
There had been a lot of debate about what the Scotland team was going to be going into this game. A lot of people looked at that game against Bolivia, especially the first half against Bolivia, and they liked that 4-4-2. They liked the fact that it was two strikers. There was debate about whether Steve Clarke was going to play that. He's gone for that. John McGinn back in. It's Ryan Christie that drops out. What do you make of that team?
I think it was a toss-up between Ryan Christie and John McGinn. It's a big call for Steve Clarke to make, but I don't think it's critical for Ryan Christie. I think he'll play the next game. I think they'll probably revert back to maybe a 4-3-3 and be a little bit more defensive, but they had to really go for it in this game against Haiti. They need to go for two up front. For me, I don't mind it. Ferguson had to play because he'll probably be the kind of defensive linchpin that keeps everything together and lets them get a bit more attacking freedom. And I think it's a very, very positive team. I don't think Christie can be too upset because he's got a big part to play in the next two.
When you look at the fact that there are two strikers on the pitch, we've just watched Brazil against Morocco. They look like two very good sides. Scotland are going to face a real challenge in those games. They're going to face a real challenge tonight. But Scotland really need to win this game, and maybe need to win it well to try and give ourselves the best chance of getting through. And by doing that, we'd be getting strikers on the pitch that can score goals.
Yeah, and I think Steve Clark knows that, Andrew, there's no doubt about it. We have watched Brazil, Morocco, and I've got to say, I thought Morocco early on were absolutely brilliant, but it's all about what Scotland do tonight. We've got to go off to a good start. There was never any doubt in my mind that you've got to go with two strikers. Two strikers are banging for them. They're scoring goals, so get them out there. Now, the only thing you've got to say is they can't go and get the ball themselves and beat four or five players. They need that service. Ben Gannon Dalton, the right-hand side, gives us that pace. You look at that formation, it's a back four, it's like a three, and then it's like a halfway. Gannon Dalton playing as a real wide guy. John McGinn will play in-to-out on the left-hand side. And Shanklin and Adams up top. I totally agree with what Tony says. If you're Ryan Christie, you're a bit disappointed, but it was always going to be that big decision. For me, the back four picked itself. I know a lot of people were looking maybe at different formations. Could it get back to a three? Never in a million years. Bolivia, I know that Bolivia were terrible, but I thought we passed the ball, we looked well. I think he's got the team spot on. I really do. I like it. It's attacking. It's up to players now to go out there and get us a good, positive result.
Angus Gunn getting the nod over Craig Gordon in goal. I think many people thought it was going to be between the two of them, and that Liam Kelly is maybe out there as the third choice goalkeeper. What does it tell you that Angus Gunn has got the nod? Why do you think he's the man for the occasion?
I think Craig Gordon probably struggled to get into the squad due to his fitness. Angus Gunn's probably been a bit more regular in the team, and like in terms of being available for his team. Sorry, I know not both of them haven't played a lot of football, but he's probably been there to be picked a lot more than Craig Gordon has been this season, and I think that probably just tips the favour on his balance for Steve Clark.
Steve Clark has also made a very deliberate point of saying that this is a squad tournament. It's not about the starting 11, that the people coming off the bench are just as important as the guys that are starting the game, because you look at the humidity, the heat, the substitutes are going to come on, they're going to be the fresh legs, and the guys that maybe are disappointed that they haven't started this game will know that they'll have an opportunity to come on and try and make their impact at some point.
I'm a great believer in modern day football, Andrew, especially in tournaments like this, is your substitutes are the guys that win the games and turn games for you. If we're up against it, against Morocco, Brazil, whatever it is, these substitutions come on, can score you a goal, can defend properly, change your system. We've got all that. It's going to be a squad, because you look at tonight's game, look, we're going very attacking because we're favourites to win the game, right? And we're looking to get off to a good start, front foot, score a few goals. You look at Morocco and Brazil tonight, we ain't going to play like that. There's absolutely no chance. We play that like that open against Morocco. The ability they've got, they will cut us open. So it is the squad, and Steve Clark will be saying that to Ryan Christie and people that's in the squad that was hoping to get in the starting 11. Listen, this is a tournament. There's a lot of games to go, and I'll pick a team for the next game against Morocco to suit that. But this morning, in our case, it's all about attacking and it's all about scoring goals.
I totally agree with you, Daz. I think that the thing for Ryan Christie is you're going to be disappointed, but Steve Clark surely put his arm around him and said, look, it's between you and John McGinn. These are both top players. I had to choose one. John McGinn's maybe scored a few more goals for the national team. I don't know exact numbers, but Ryan Christie's energy and his quality is going to be needed against Morocco and Brazil, which are two massive games. Scotland are going to need a massive performance in both, but tonight it's all about getting two strikers on the pitch, and I think somebody had to miss out, and that was Ryan Christie, unfortunately.
You do not need to pinch yourself. It's real. Scotland, in 45 minutes time, will be kicking off in a World Cup for the first time in 28 years. Stick around, because we'll give you more build-up and the coverage of the big game.
Live in Glasgow's Merchant City Square, and live from the Boston Stadium, 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Super Scoreboard is live from Merchant City Square. We have former Scotland international Tony Watt here. We have Raith Rovers legend Gordon Dalziel, who has embarrassingly turned up in the exact same Scotland top as me, which I'm not too delighted about. And we're also joined by Ian, who is joining us as a live caller. He is in the bar with us, who is also turned up in the exact same Scotland top two.
Without the umbrella.
It's a great cat. That's beautiful.
And there's three for a price of two.
Ian, it is not far away from this game kicking off. What have the emotions been for you over the course of this day?
Very positive up until now. It's starting like a wee bit nervy, a wee bit shaky.
That's kind of just the roller coaster of emotions of a football fan, isn't it? Because you can have those highs, you can have that optimism, but I think as it creeps closer to the game, those doubts, that worst case scenario, those nerves come in. Have you been feeling that this is a side that can create history, that can get out the group?
Oh, 100%. Our back is like hell. It's just the closer it gets to kickoff. There's nothing I'm really fearing. It's just you doubt yourself a wee bit closer it gets to it.
What is going to be the deciding factor in this game for you? Is it how Steve Clark sets the team up? Is it specific players turning it on? Is it how good or bad Haiti turn out to be?
I think Garen Doak's got a lot to say. Bringing the ball up, putting balls in, I think he's got a lot to say for today.
We've seen how exciting Ben Garen Doak can be, especially against Bolivia. You talked about it earlier on, Gordon Diel, about the service being key. But if he can get on the ball, if he can run at Haiti defenders, and if he can do that from early on, he might scare the life out of some of them.
Yeah, not just that. I think that the minute he gets the ball, there'll be maybe two or three over there trying to protect the defender against him, because he's very direct, we know that. And it would leave space then for other players. He's a big, big player for us. He's a ball carrier. He gives us the width. He's playing with a lot of confidence. I think, as Ian quite rightly says, I think he could be a massive player in this tournament. I really do. And I think that as you talk about the other subs coming on and giving us that width as well, because I think the squad is tailor-made for changing formation. But tonight, I think he's got it spot on. I keep saying tonight, I'm over Boston this morning. But I just like the fact that if we can get the ball to this young guy, he will produce for us. Of that, there's no doubt tonight.
Is this your first experience of Scotland being at a World Cup?
Aye, I was born October 98.
Is that right?
So just 98. After 98.
You're 5 years younger than me.
What are you trying to say, Tony? 98.
Yeah. You're looking well.
But what's see, growing up as a Scotland fan, did you have a feeling that you might never see Scotland at a World Cup, and then that's all changed over the last few years under Steve Clark?
100%. It was getting there. I remember under Strachan getting close a couple of times in the groups. I remember last minute winners thinking, oh, we're almost there, and fall flat on our faces.
Was Italy won the Alan Hutton foul that wasn't a foul? Was that World Cup or Euros?
That was World Cup, wasn't it?
That was close, wasn't it, that time? That's it, that the last cool. time I can
Ian,
proper
just,
remember.
Just going on a point, and Andrew was asking, what's your thoughts on the team tonight? Is it the right team?
I think mostly so. The one kind of query, the one question mark for me is Dan Hanley, perhaps.
Who would you put in there?
I'm a Rangers man. And
all right, so the full Rangers team.
And I think for Rangers, I've sometimes got question marks over John Souter, but I think he does a really good job for Scotland.
Right. Having been to the last two Euros, and I think everyone would accept that they maybe turned out to be quite underwhelming in the end, the performances when we got to the tournament, despite the fact that getting there was such a big achievement. Is there a hope that having those experiences will, you know, can that help Scotland in this tournament? And is there now that expectation coming into this that it's not just about being there and taking part, it's about we want to actually make a dent in this tournament if we can?
I think so. I think, was it Stephen Clark made a comment midweek about how they felt going into the Germany game, and it felt brilliant going into the Germany game, and then that ended up how it ended up, and not to take too much about feeling good, but I think That'll come along with it. And I think I don't say about Dan Hanley, but I think the experience in the squad, being at the Euros, experiencing that, I think they'll be settled for us. I think they'll be settled and they can give us a good go.
Brilliant. Thank you very much to Ian. We'll let you go back and spend your time with your pals.
I've got a pair of guys waiting for me. I'm going to get stuck in for it.
There we go. And you know what? I'm amazed that we've got someone that sounds as if they've not touched too many beers so so far today, considering the time, or maybe he's just hiding it well. But thank you very much
to Ian. We'll let you head off.
And we will go back to the Boston Stadium because Gabriel Antoniazzi is there. Gabriel, what is the atmosphere like inside the stadium? And just give us a picture of what Boston has been like in general over the last few days, because on social media we've seen that has been the Tartan Army takeover and it's looked incredible.
Yeah, Andrew, just starting with the stadium here. I mean, Scotland are out now warming up in those red training tops. They ran out with bagpipes bellowing out of the tannoys and everyone inside screaming. It's a 64,000 seater here in Foxborough. It's only about half full at the moment. I've just seen a shot of thousands of fans still queuing outside to get in. There were 2 hour long queues at the back, the South Station in Boston earlier. It was pandemonium amongst the heat. It's been over 30 degrees here again today. Thank goodness, I'll say that, thank goodness it's a 9 p.m. local time kickoff for the fans and for the players. Although the humidity is still in the air, Andrew, the sun just setting behind the far stand, a stunning scene really, the final rays of light hitting the top of the stand, shining off the salmon strip, which is everywhere. I'm sure you'll see the pictures at home. I think everyone inside has got that new away strip that the players will be wearing. It's been a tartan takeover in Boston and now down in Foxborough as well. But just on the week in general, it's been fantastic. A fantastic city. They've really embraced Scotland and the fans. Been very accommodating. As you say, you've seen all the videos all over social media. The Americans absolutely loving it. The Scots were out in force backing the US last night. And they're hoping the favour is returned by locals this evening. Now, Haiti fans have not been as visible in the city this week, but they are visible today. And what a story for them. Back for just their second World Cup. A country devastated by an earthquake 16 years ago. They've not played at home in 5 years. The manager has never even been to the country, but this is a proud day for them and their people, and games like this prove what the World Cup is all about, Andrew. When I was walking in, there was fans from both sides, both countries, coming together, tailgating outside outside the stadium, eating, drinking, chatting, topless Scottish men getting sunburned. It's what it's all about. What a day indeed. Kickoff just over 30 minutes away now.
Yeah, it is a shame to hear that with, what's that, just over half an hour to go until the game kicks off, that there are issues with the fans getting into the stadium. The queues are really long. Hopefully, by the time it kicks off, the majority of Scotland fans are in there. They can enjoy the national anthem and hopefully enjoy Scotland getting off to a good start in the game.
Yeah, it's a bit worrying that, isn't it, when you hear Gab saying that. It was a wee bit like the Euros for me as well. We didn't go to many of the games, but I was speaking to guys after it that weren't getting into the game till about 20 minutes later on, and it just weighs to full occasion. Listen, it's all about the World Cup tonight is about the first thing that happens is the national anthem. How many proud Scots are in America and Scotland all over the world as well? They want to be a part of that, Andrew. So we hope that speeds along and every fan that's got a ticket gets in that ground and is ready for kickoff.
When you just look at the general atmosphere around Boston, I'm sure you're the same as me, Tony, that any time you go on social media, you just see something else. You see Scotland fans playing football in the street. You see Craig Ferguson, who's walked 3,000 miles from LA to Boston to get to the game. You see police officers that have got themselves doing keepy-ups and putting on the boy, Scotland tops.
The boy that get the Scotland fans moving across the road for him.
That's brilliant. It's just one of the great stories that I've seen so far, that it was half past six in the morning and it was an American just in a residential street that he looked out at half past six in the morning and the street across from him had been rented out as an Airbnb.
Brilliant.
And he looked out and there were salt tires draped from it and there was a guy in a kilt playing the bagpipes at half past six in the morning. And I've watched that story develop over social media the last few days. He is now an adopted Scot. He's managed to get himself a ticket to the game. He's been cooking dinner for the Scotland supporters that are over there and he's getting into it, and you just see how well received the Scotland fans are over there. We saw it when we were in Germany a couple of years ago, Gordon, that the Tartan Army are over there and they just do us so proud.
Yeah, I was going to echo what you just said there, Andrew. We were very fortunate to be in Germany and I could not believe, one, the amount of Scottish fans that was actually in Germany. And I remember walking around the corner in Munich and I thought the Pool of Scotland was actually in a square. It was incredible. And to be fair, they're there to party. No Scotland, no party is a famous song, and I totally agree with it. They're always well behaved, they're brilliant, they bring so much to it, and they've waited so long. As I said there earlier, it's okay, back to back Euros. This is a World Cup. I grew up watching all the World Cups, and younger people have never really seen Scotland being at a World Cup. So tonight, this is absolutely brilliant for them.
And it's not just in Boston where there is a huge party, because there is a massive party all over Scotland. It might be 1:30 in the morning. It did not matter what time this game was going to kick off. It did not matter what day this game was going to kick off, because there were going to be Scotland fans out in force enjoying themselves. And let's take a wee trip around the country, shall we? We'll start close to where we are in Merchant City Square. Callum McQuaid is going to let us know what is happening downstairs, and then we're going to go around the country.
Yes, I'm in amongst the crowd down here, and it's so loud and so busy that I've actually had to drag two guys outside to come and speak to me. And you are not just celebrating Scotland being in the World Cup, but you're celebrating something even more important. What are you up to?
It's my stag do tonight, looking forward to it.
I mean, you've got lots to celebrate regardless of what happens, and you're both actually holding up pretty well.
Just about. We've swapped the beers for the coffees, yeah.
They started off, there were 16 of us, we're down to 8, but we'll make it to the end, that's the target.
Now, obviously you guys are out in your official Scotland tops. Talk me through them.
So this one's from JD Sports. This one is one that pretty much everyone's going to be wearing tonight, but you can't go wrong with the basics. It's looking good.
So I've done it for my stag with another outfit. Got to my brother's house and he said, no, get that off you, get changed. So it's a retro strip, some Doddy wear shorts and some Scotland socks. So yeah, hope for the best.
And now over to Lana, who's in Edinburgh, and she's at the Pit.
Thanks, Callum. I'm here at the For the Fans fan park in Edinburgh. I'm with former Scotland manager and player Craig Levine. Craig, you were in the Scotland team the last time they won a game at the World Cup back in Italia 90. How excited are you to be here ahead of the game tonight, and how do you think it's going to go?
Can't actually believe that statistic. Is that it's been that long? 28 years now. I mean, I am more hopeful about this group of players and this tournament than I have been for a long, long time.
And how do you think it's going to go tonight? What do you think the score is going to be?
2-0 or 2-1 to Scotland. Hedge of the bets.
Thanks very much. Let's head over to Dave Galloway. How's it looking in Aberdeen?
Thanks, Lana. This For the Fans fan park is packed out. Scottish football legend Charlie Nicholas is with me right now. Charlie, the Tartan Army's ready. We're in a former church and everyone is praying Scotland get this campaign off to the perfect start. How are you feeling? And what do Steve Clarke's men need to do to get what could be a hugely important win?
Look, I was in 86. We were the same. We were playing Denmark. But we were the underdogs. The difference is tonight, we're the guys at Saiti, and they're the underdogs. Take nothing for granted here. Don't get caught up in the emotions and the occasion of everything. I think John McGinn said it himself. He got caught up in that in the past. Let's drive ourselves forward. If we could win this, it puts us in a great place, because the next two games are extremely difficult. But you have to be positive. We've waited 28 years to be positive. Is Steve Clarke going to pick a team that is adventurous? Let's start with Shankland.
Amazing. Thank you very much, Charlie. Here's hoping. Now back to you at Merchant City, Andrew.
Tony, what will the players be feeling at the moment? Because you have played for Scotland. First of all, what did that feel like to pull on the Scotland jersey and play for the senior side? And then how much will that be elevated for these players going out at a World Cup in America representing our country?
Well, I love how you oversell me, because I had one cap for about 15 minutes, but no, I was on the bench a few times and I was involved in the setup. They're big characters, they're big players. When I was there, it was Dan Fletcher, Snodgrasses, these kind of guys that when they stepped out on the pitch, they knew the job had to be done. Scotland will be like that tonight, I feel. I do think there'll be nerves, but once they step out there and get a bit of the ball, get control of the game, which they should do, I think it'll settle, and I think we've got some real big players. You've got John McGinn, who just captained Aston Villa, who are a massive club, to the Europa League final and won it. Scott McTominay, who's won a league in Italy. We've got a lot of big players in that team, so I don't expect nerves to be the problem tonight.
And you can just see the pride ripping out of these players to represent their country. There maybe was a time where Scotland players maybe weren't as proud, and there was, you know, accusations that players maybe pulled out of squads and didn't necessarily, you know, want to be jumping at the chance to represent Scotland. You get the feeling that every single player in this squad is so committed and wants to do their very best to make sure that Scotland can do all we can to be the best we possibly can be at this tournament.
It was a cliche that died a long, long time ago, Andrew, about club players playing for a jersey. It was all about playing for the money, and let's not be kidding, but this is different tonight. These guys have been together now for a long, long time. They're a great group of guys. They bond brilliantly, and the one thing they are, they're proud to play for their country. Yes, the Euros in Germany were disappointing. That's behind us. This is a World Cup. And the fact that we started the Euros, we started against the host nation, remember?
Yeah.
It was always an uphill task for us. We're starting against a team tonight that we're expecting to win. And probably some people are thinking, we could probably win this comfortable if we play well.
By the way,
you're talking about nerves here, Tony Wright. I looked at his caption there. We've not got a lot of young players. We've got a lot of experienced guys out there. And that's a good thing. They know how to handle this. They play in big games. You mentioned that the McGinns, the McTominays, Andy Robertsons, all these guys have played in massive, massive games. Tonight, it's about getting out there and playing the game, not the occasion. And if they do that, I think we could get a positive result.
I'm with Daz there. I think after 5-10 minutes in the nerves settle, they've watched the result of the Brazil-Morocco game coming in. They know they probably need to win 2 or 3 nil tonight. 1-0 won't be enough to qualify for me, unless you're going to go and get a positive result against Morocco or Brazil, which, based on tonight's games, will be two hard games. So go out there, get as many goals as you can, win the game comfortable, and give yourself the best possible chance, and don't let any pressure come back in the next few games.
Andrew, just quickly, sorry, I get back to you, and I know Tony will never remember it, but I remember in 1974, and it was in Germany, and we never lost a game, and we played Zaire in the first game, and we looked like tonight we could go and win it comfortably. We were 2-0 up at half time, and we took our foot off the gas. Yugoslavia beat them 9-0, right? Brazil then went on in the last game and beat them 3-0, which put us out in goal difference. We've got to look at this tonight and say, right, as much as get the 3 points first and foremost, but I believe we've got the attacking lineup and the players, and we'll get goals all over this pitch here. Let's not be kidding.
Yep.
I think we could get a real good result tonight.
There needs to be that balance, though, doesn't there, Tony? Because there may be people out there that don't think Haiti will be much of a challenge, despite the fact that if you look at their warm-up friendlies, they do have some very good players. They've got guys that have played in the Premier League, guys that are playing at a decent level. But it's not as if Steve Clarke is going to look at Haiti and think, oh, this could be a walkover. Scotland are going to score X amount of goals. Scotland still need to take this very, very seriously. And at the end of the day, a win is what Scotland need. It would be great to win it and, you know, score several goals, but there needs to be that balance to be struck of making sure that this game is taken as seriously as possible, and you know that that's exactly how Steve Clarke and his staff and the players are going to handle it.
If we're looking for a manager who's going to be defensive and set us up, get us good defensively on set pieces and make sure we don't concede easy goals, I think Steve Clarke's that guy. Now, we've also added the attacking part of it a little bit more fluently. We've got a better option in Ben Doak in terms of he's a wee bit more experienced with the national team. He's played a wee bit more games. Last week he looked electric. And now Shankland's came to the fore in terms of he's a right option now. I also think the biggest winner of this pool up front for me is Shea Adams, because I think Shankland always makes the player next to him better. I think he's shown that at Hearts, whether it was with Josh Ginnelly, with Braga, with these types of players around him. He always brings the best out in other people, and I think that lets Shea Adams. Shankland can go and pin a defender or two and let Shea Adams run the corners, run the channels, and Shankland's link-up play can bring him in. I think there's goals in this team now because of the way we play, but I also do think we'll be set up really, really well, and I don't think we'll leak goals anyway.
Kickoff is 20 minutes away. Stick with us because we'll give you the final build-up and we'll go back to the Boston Stadium.
Scotland versus Haiti. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Scotland against Haiti is edging ever closer. It might be 1:43 in the morning, but the atmosphere inside Merchant City Square, the atmosphere all round Scotland will be exactly the same. And just imagine what the Scotland supporters in Boston are feeling right now. I'm Andrew McLean on Super Scoreboard with former Scotland international Tony Watt, Raith Rovers legend Gordon DL is with us.
By the way, he's overselling me. Overselling me massively.
You're still a former Scotland international. You've got a cap.
We can put a disclaimer there. We'll need to say former Scotland international asterisk, because 15 minutes doesn't really count, does it? But we'll take it.
It's one more cap than pretty much anyone else has. So you need to be proud of that. Right, let's hear from Steve Clark, shall we? This is him talking about what opening games of tournaments, what he's learned from them, and what he can take going into this game.
The Germany one's easy. Don't get humped. The Czech Republic one's a little bit different. That was a football game that just didn't go our way. The Germany one was obviously more disappointing because we didn't get anywhere near the level that we can get, and they obviously, as a host nation, they played a great game. Team selection is always difficult. It's always a tough one where you've got to leave three or four players out who have played a big part in getting us to the tournament. But as I said quite early on, it's going to be a squad World Cup. The starting team is important. I think you'll find in a lot of games the team that finishes is every bit as important, if not even more important. So the lads know that. It's been explained to them what we're going to do and how we're going to utilise the squad. I still haven't picked the team yet, if I'm being honest. The players don't know the team, so I still haven't done it.
I wonder what the order of these games, and Haiti being the first opponent, has maybe done for the expectation. Do you think it has changed things if we were going into this game tonight and it was Brazil, then Morocco, then Haiti? Do you think supporters would view it differently, how tough or easy the group is? Is it because this is the most winnable game on paper that there is a lot of optimism from supporters going into this tournament?
Yeah, and I firmly believe that's the right way, because I would rather have this one first. I look at the two games that are coming up. I seen it in Germany after the game against Germany. It was very hard because even the Tartan Army, as much as they're absolutely brilliant, at times they're a little bit flat of what was happening on the pitch, Andrew. We've got a chance here in a World Cup that we've not been to for a long time to start in a front foot, a positive note, take a bit of that into the next few games. So, me personally, if we can get the right results tonight, this is a perfect game for us, no doubt.
It's not definitely make or break. That's not how, you know, group stages work. They're not all hinged on one game. But there is a massive expectation that this could be the game that might be enough to see Scotland through if they get the 3 points. And as Daz says, it could set the tone for the players, for the staff, but also for the optimism of the support as well going into the next two group games.
I don't want to be a pessimist, but for me, watching that Brazil-Morocco game, the worst outcome we could have got was a draw, because now both teams are going to want to fight to get 7 points. Morocco will be going for it against us, and then Brazil won't chill at the last game either, because it'll be the better path into the next round. Now, I don't think a 1-0 tonight will be enough either, and I'm not saying that in a negative way. I just think Scotland need to go and try and 3-4, because I've seen the predictions, I've seen the supercomputers saying that if you get 3 points, minus two goal difference might be enough. Now, if you go and win 3-0 tonight, it's going to be hard to concede 5-6 goals.
Steve Clark has made a point of having players in the squad that are consistently picked so that they build up caps, they build up that international experience. And you look at that Scotland team tonight, and guys like John McGinn, guys like Scott McTominay, guys like Grant Hanley, guys like Andy Robertson have played so many games for Scotland. What can that experience do for them coming into a game like this? Or does it mean much when this is different and this is the World Cup and they haven't been to a World Cup before?
No, these guys playing big games. Yes, they've been in Euros, but club football, they've won major honours, they've won in Europe against top teams. They play against top teams most weeks, let's be honest about it. I've no fear about Scotland players handling the pressure tonight.
Daz, I don't mean to interrupt you, right? While you're talking, is Denmark a harder game, a more nervous game to play than this? So they'll be ready for it, no, after the Denmark game, because that was basically make or break, no?
Yeah, I think you learn with the tournament as well going along. And plus the fact, I think we were a wee bit sort of a defensive-minded. We went into the Germany game a little bit defensive-minded because of who we were playing, the opposition, and rightly so. Let's not be kidded here. We're going in here tonight, firm favourite. We're going in with an attacking team. Look at throughout our team where all the goals can come from. I think this is the most positive I've felt about a Scotland team in a long, long while. Look, yes, we've been here before, we build it up, and all of a sudden it just crumbled. I don't think this is the case. I think Steve Clark's learned, I really do, and I think these players are ready for it. You've got two guys up top who are banging form, and we've played as centre forwards. And if you're scoring goals, you cannot wait for the next game to come along, and you're saying to your guys, put the ball in the box, I'll do the rest.
Yeah.
We've got that tonight. We've got that.
Yeah.
It's here. It's happening. Scotland are about to play in the World Cup for the first time in 28 years. Kick-off and the national anthems is coming next.